This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
Eternal God, our Father, we thank You that we do have the victory in You. No matter what is said or done, we have the victory because we belong to You. For that, we thank You, sir, for this day that You made just for us. We choose to rejoice and be glad in it. Get Your glory, God, in our lives. Get Your glory through our situation. Get Your glory through our worship. Get Your glory, sir. Thank You for every testimony, every blessing. We dare not come into Your presence in Your house and not give You glory. You've been better than we know. There's some things that You've done that we don't even know about. Dangers seen and unseen. And so today we celebrate Your keeping power. And we declare that You're still God. And there is none like You. So we thank You for being our God and our loving Father. Forgive us where we fall short, dear Lord. Will we miss the mark? Will we make things bigger than You? Forgive us and help us, God, to see You more clearly, more effectively in our lives. And Lord, we ask now in this time of worship that we prepare to hear from You. I ask, God, that the atmosphere has been set, that we may hear from You. And I yield myself to You now, Holy Spirit, saying, have Your way, that Your people may be blessed and empowered to live this victorious life. And so we thank You in advance. How much better we're going to be, how much higher we're going to go, how much deeper we can get through Your word and Your unsearchable riches. To You be the glory for it all. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Come on, bless the Lord with me. Now, if He hadn't been good, that's okay. But I need about three or four who know that the Lord has been good to give Him a glory, a praise in this place, like God has been good to you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God bless you today. Good morning. What a blessing it is to be in God's house one more time. We'll thank God for this day, this opportunity to worship God in spirit and in truth. To all of our ministers and to all of our leadership and to all of you who are assembled, visitors and friends, thank God for you today. We greet you in the name, unlike any other name, in the name of Jesus Christ. In reference to our Almighty God, Jesus Christ, our elder brother, and our Holy Spirit, our comforting God. What a beautiful day it is to be alive and to be able to breathe God's air. It was not your alarm clock that woke you up this morning. It was the touch of our sovereign God who thought enough of you and I to give us one more day. And my question to you, what are you going to do with this day of unexpected breath that God says I got a plan for your life and allows you and I to breathe His air? And we thank God for that. To those who are online, we thank God for you today as well. So good to see you all in the house of the Lord. Amen. So many of our friends visiting. Brother Barnes, good to see you, my brother. Amen. Deisha, good to see you back in the house. Amen. So many wonderful faces we see in the house of the Lord. And y'all halfway smiling. That's all right. Amen. That's all right. That's all right. We're cutting up. Amen. Thank God for our music ministry blessing us today. As we give God praise for them. Amen. And we want to reiterate once again what a blessing the Women's Conference was on yesterday. To Minister Tate and to Women of Zion, we thank God for you. We are proud of you, and we thank God for what he's doing in the lives of all women. Amen. Come on, let's celebrate one another for a change. Amen. Amen. Pastor Cynthia Cole is not from this atmosphere. That sister labored like I've never seen before. We thank God for her, and good for her. Good for her. Amen. Amen. So we're going to hurry up and get out of here. The ladies are, y'all done about had enough. And most of all, ladies about in the bottom of the night. And so we're going to let y'all get on out of here. Acts chapter 26. Y'all, I'm doing good to be at church because I'm still loosed. Loosed and free, that's right. I mean, y'all can't even stand still. Y'all just floating all over the room. Amen. Making up Met List today and everybody monologuing up here on the platform. Shake yourself loose, why don't you? Acts chapter 26. God bless all y'all. God bless you. Acts chapter 26. There's a word the Lord laid on our heart to share with you today. We're concerning evangelism still, but we're going to look at a challenge to evangelism. Acts chapter 26, and I want to begin reading verse number 24 for the benefit of our time. Acts chapter 26, beginning at verse number 24. Everybody have it? Amen. All right, let's begin reading and see what the Lord had to say. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Man, you crazy. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that you do. Then Agrippa said to Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with them, and when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, this man doeth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. And then said Agrippa unto Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. The word of God for the people of God, and the people of God said, amen. Amen. The grass withers, the flowers fade thereof. The word of our God shall stand forever. I want to tag this text this morning. Look once again in your Bible. Look at verse number 28. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. I want to tag this text this morning. Almost doesn't count. Almost doesn't count. Almost doesn't count. We come today to encourage you, those of us who are in that valley of indecision. The Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, has this knack, beloved, of knowing the real us. Holy Ghost has this knack of getting deeper beneath the surface, beneath these holy halos we put on, the attire and the apparel and all the things that we use to get dressed. And he sees, the Holy Spirit, he sees who we really are. Sunday morning is a tricky day because Sunday morning we are best selves. Whatever that is, we are best self. And most of us are going to come to the house of God. Thank God for that we come to the house of God. I'm glad to see you here. Going to have a good time. I'm glad to see your face in the place and your smile in the aisle and your feet tapping where? Yeah, and we go pray him. Glad to see you. But who is it that we see? Who are you really? You and the Holy Ghost knows. And today I come to my assignment is to lift those of us who are really feeling shaky right now. Because you were not prepared for the Lord to see you. You were prepared for the Lord to say something to you, but you were not prepared for the Lord to see you. And a great number of us under the sound of my voice are in this place, this dangerous place called almost. I'm almost a believer, almost dedicated, almost sincere, but at least preacher leave me alone because I'm in the house. Y'all told me just come to church. No one told me I need to be the church. Someone told me to pray, but no one told me to believe in the prayers that I'm praying. Better yet, even know the God that I'm praying to. Today, my challenge is to come for those of us who occupy these pews and seats on a regular basis and still live in a place called almost. If the truth be told, beloved, a great deal of us, I'm not going to say all, I'm just going to say a good number of us really do not believe in this God that we say we believe in. If you are a real believer, there's just certain things you say, there are certain things you do, and there's a certain approach you have when you live every day. Every day is not going to be strawberries and ice cream. But when you know who God is, you realize that this is the day that the Lord has made. And somehow, some way, I can rejoice and be glad. When you are a real believer, even when you deal with enemy attacks, something about your heart reminds you that no weapon formed against you will be able to prosper, and every tongue that rises against you will be diminished. And this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord and the righteousness of me. If you are a real believer today and you are dealing with lack and not knowing where your next bill go get paid, where your money, you will remember that I once was young. And now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging for bread. You will remember that my God shall supply all your needs according to your riches, his riches that are in glory. If you are a real believer with a broken heart, you'll lift your hand sometime. If you are a real believer with nothing to shout for, you'll still find a way to say, I will bless the Lord. At all times, his praise shall continually be in my... If you are a real believer... It's just certain ways real believers conduct themselves. All you need was space and opportunity. All the hell you've been through all week long, all the struggles and the setbacks and the sins that you've had to experience, and the Lord messed around and let you make it to Sunday one more time. And I wish I had two or three people, and I'd be number four who says, I'm glad when they said unto me. Let us go. Do I have any other believers in the house? I'm talking about some real, for real believers in God. That I know that can't nobody do you like Jesus. I'm not guessing anymore. I'm not figuring anymore. I know he's a way maker. He's a door opener. He's a bridge. He's a comfort. He's a keeper. He's peace in my storm. He's joy in my sorrow. I wish I had some people who really knew this God we've been talking about. Week in and week out, we keep talking about this God, and sometimes the heartbreak for ministry is when we're talking over people we're trying to talk to. Because they won't let what God is saying get into their heart and penetrate and convict and change anything, but let me just go on high. I want to be on the church roll, but I don't want to be the number. But we really gonna be what God calls to be. We got to work to be in that number that no man can number. Because one of these days, y'all, I want to tell you once again, that the Lord did die for your sins, and the Lord did get up on that third day morning. 50 days later, he gave his Holy Ghost to us to preside and reside on the inside of us to guide us. But one of these days, y'all, he coming back. And I don't think we understand. I gotta say it. I don't mean to be a doom and gloom guy, but y'all, one of these days, the Lord is coming back, and he's coming back for those who have confessed him and professed him. And what I like about God, I might not be perfect, but I'm his. I'm gonna have some flaws, but I belong to him. I'm gonna have some struggles, but I belong to him, because can't nobody love you and keep you in the midst of it like the Lord can. And y'all, it's 2025, and some of us that's been with God too long to keep being almost. And God's word to you today, child of God, almost doesn't count. Almost only works in horseshoes, but it does not work when it comes to your faith. How you reckon God go do it? How you almost believe in? How you almost go pray? How you almost trust him? You either trust him or you don't. You either love him or you don't. You either in or you're out. There is no in between.
And for any, and it's not just for the preachers, not just for the church folk. It's for anybody under what they call the age of accountability. In other words, when you know right from wrong, you're accountable for your own soul. Keep playing crazy. You ain't crazy all the time. Keep acting like you don't know no better. You know the right thing when you need to know the right thing. Yes. Sometimes we can just sit down and say, I know, yes, Jesus loves me. How do I know? Because the Bible tells me so. You don't need nothing deep to tell you that you are headed to hell, but the Lord saved you and changed your life, and I need to confess it with my mouth and believe in my heart that God raised him from the... How hard is that? Yes. But I'm ashamed and I'm shy to tell the Lord that I need him, that I love him, and so we keep going through this little cycle. We keep going through this struggle in this place called Almost, just like King Agrippa in our text on today. King Agrippa is somebody I need to deal with, and also this governor named Festus we got to deal with. Paul, he's in prison. Paul is facing execution. He's facing persecution. He is in jail. He's in prison for the cause of Christ. That's why he talks about the bonds in the text, because the bonds are the shackles. He's in prison. He is a convicted felon and ain't done nothing wrong. Now, it was interesting, as long as Paul was doing what everybody else wanted him to do, as long as Paul was going along with the public and doing what everybody wanted, nobody bothered him. But isn't it strange that when Paul had a Damascus Road experience and got on the right track, that's when people start locking him up, that's when people start shipwrecking him, that's when people start coming for him? That's your testimony today. It wasn't when you were doing wrong that the stuff went crazy. It's when you got it right that things get crazy. And there ought to be some encouragement to somebody. Has anybody besides the preacher today know that when I got serious with God, that's when the devil got serious with me? It's when things are happening in my life and I start realizing who God is, that's when trouble start coming. It's when you get serious about what God wants you to do that when troubles come into your life. And so you got to get over it. You got to get over that and stop trying to hide and act like you ain't saved, because the devil can find you even in the corner. Well, there it is. There it is. Paul, in our text, has, in chapter 26, he's gone through these series of mock trials where he's had to keep telling the same story, because he goes to Jerusalem, get in trouble. Goes to Caesarea, gets in trouble. Everywhere he goes, these Jewish leaders keep putting him on trial to make him say something different. Here's what Paul's problem is. He keeps talking about this man named Jesus. And every time he talks about this man named Jesus, the folks who tried to kill Jesus get mad. Because the more somebody talks about the fact that Jesus got up, it reminds the enemy of what they failed at. That's why, beloved, you can't shut up. I know your heart is broken, but you can't shut up. I know you're going through storms, but you can't shut up. Let the redeemed of the Lord say something. You may not say what I say. You may not say it the way I say it, but you ought to say something. It ought to be somebody who can say, I'm evidence that God is a healer. I'm evidence that God is a provider. I'm evidence that God will guide you. You can't shut up. I wish I had some people. See, y'all too quiet for me. I say you can't shut up now. This ain't the time to shut up. It's the time to get loud. Paul's problem is they kept doing two things I encourage you to do. He kept showing up and he would not shut up. Y'all missed your shout. I said, two things you got to do on that job with them no good coworkers, with that no good boss, with them ugly folks at the house, with them stupid people in your family. You still got to show up, and you cannot shut up. You're not going to muzzle my mouth, because the Lord's been too good. And I'll tell it every chance I get that can't nobody. Can't nobody do you like, I wish I had some people who say, I'm not going to shut up. You can talk about me. You can put me on blast. You can try to expose me. I will still bless God. He's on trial. Paul is on trial. Here he is again. Festus has inherited Paul. His predecessor, Felix, was after Paul as well. Now, they believe in God, but don't believe in Paul. Because the more Paul opens his mouth, he keeps talking about Jesus. And they keep getting upset because he keeps talking about Jesus. he won't talk about them. Keeps talking about Jesus. And so Paul keeps being consistent and persistent in his testimony, even under pressure. He faces the possibility of death every time he opened his mouth. And it's not so much that he has to say something, it's amazing what he has to say. So they put him on trial again in chapter 26. He's in Caesarea now, and King Agrippa and his wife, maybe, / sister, Bernice. I'm going to stick a pin now. I'm coming back to it. This lady named Bernice, who may be his, she said to be his wife in some cases and said to be his sister in others. Here he is, a king, but he got some stuff at the house. And got a chance for the Lord to save him, but Agrippa would rather stay almost so he can be this always. I'm coming for you. There are some of us in this room who are going to stay at almost because you want to be recognized always. You want the world to see you as always the boy, always the girl, always got it, always on top. And so you'll tell God almost. Because in order to tell God always, I got to leave some stuff. And I got to leave some people. And Agrippa would rather keep something that's killing him. And you know it's killing you. But you ain't willing to make a change. Festus is really dirty because you want somebody else to handle Paul because you know you can't handle it. If I had time, I'd unpack all this. All I can do is cut across the field and just kind of discuss this. So Paul is giving his discourse. Hey, Festus, say, hey, Agrippa, king, come hear this man, Paul. Let's see what we can do with him. Now, the problem we got with him is he declared he wants to appeal to Caesar, so we can't handle him like we want to handle him in Jerusalem, but we can handle him like the Romans want to handle him because he's declared his Roman citizenship. So we go handle him. We go let Caesar handle him, but between now and then, let you and I handle him and see what we go do with him. And so Paul, y'all, no matter where he is, he keeps getting the same story. There was a time when I fought Jesus. I was you want to see a sinner, Paul said. I was one of the best ones. See, I see y'all ain't ready. Because it don't make good sense to sin if you don't do it right. There y'all go. There y'all go. The reason why you sin and like sinning is because sinning is you gonna sin hard. Paul said I was the best at what I was doing, and I knew I was wrong. Paul says, though, on my way, on Damascus Road, the Lord showed up, turned my life around. And ever since then, I've been walking for the Lord. Matter of fact, he said, the Lord has kept me up until this point. Everything I've gone through has been because for the cause of Christ, and because of Christ that he's kept me. Y'all missed it. If you keep doing everything because Christ, then God will keep you for the cause of Christ. I'm going to try it one more time. If you do everything you do because of Christ, then the Lord will keep you called for the cause of Christ. Paul says that, hey, here I am before you, King, telling you that the Lord Jesus Christ got up. There it was. He won't stop telling folk that Jesus got up. Because every time you testified the Lord got up, you got resurrection power. When you testify and reply that the Lord got up, he didn't just get up to be getting up. He got up for you and I that we may experience and have the same resurrection power. See, the problem that you got today is you don't even know what's in you. And that's why the devil come at you so you'll never know what's in you. Within you right now, sitting there looking at me crazy, is the resurrection power of the Almighty God. You got the potential to lay hands on some people and they be healed. You got the potential to walk. You got the probability to walk in grounds and territories and declare what God wants you to have, but it won't do a bit of good if you're at almost. It won't do you no good. It won't do us any good because too many of us are almost deacons, almost preachers, almost leaders, almost Christians, perpetuating the fraud. Here's how. Let me hurry. I need to talk about almost people and tell you what they do so we'll know what not to do. Can we all agree to make this a cautionary tale? And don't say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to not do this, so I won't be considered almost. So, almost people do a couple things. Number one, here's what almost people do. They resist the truth of the word. They resist the truth of the word. Paul is clever, and he's guided by God. In this discourse, notice that when he starts recalling what God is doing and done in his life and testifies that Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy, when Paul starts saying that everything we talked about from Genesis to Malachi, Jesus has come to be the fulfillment. When he says that, Festus tell him, man, you crazy. He says you're too smart for your own good. All this learning got you talking crazy. I'm gonna try it again. Now, while you playing the game, you're all right. But when you start telling the truth, you crazy. You help lie and gossip and be messy, you're all right. You stand on the truth, it's something wrong with you. I gotta push best I can. Long as you believe a lie, you're all right. But time you start speaking on the truth that can be based on the word of God, people call you crazy. And all I'm doing is speaking what I received. My question to you, if I'm wrong for trusting the word of God, and you right for not trusting the word of God, leave me alone. Because my Bible teaches me that every word that the Lord speaks will come to fulfillment. It's going to accomplish what it says to accomplish. So if I'm wrong, it ain't on you. Why are you so adamant about keeping me out of studying God's word? Why are you interrupting my Bible study with mess? Why are you interrupting my meditation with something foolish? Why are you so hard on me on Wednesdays? Now, here's what almost people start saying. I'm finna get in trouble here. Almost people say, ooh, the devil ain't want me to get to church. He tried everything he could to stop me from getting the Bible study in church. Can I tell you the truth? That's just the 2 days you pay attention to him. For most of us, the almost people, you were looking for an excuse. That phone, it just wouldn't go off. You ain't sitting on alone. I had it on my mind. I was going to Bible study. So why you sign up to go to the hair salon that day? That wasn't the devil, that was decisions. The devil after you every day. Matter of fact, I hope he after you every day. If you're on the right path, the devil ought to be coming at you with something every day. But why is it when it's time to get in that word that you pay attention to him being after you? Hey, I'm done lost the whole church right there. Them the 2 days when it's time to get serious and get some instruction and some growth, the devil, ooh, he just wouldn't let me. That's why y'all here looking crazy this morning. And we supposed to feel sorry for you because you looking like a pressed. You ain't pressed. You showed up to church. Guess what, y'all? I'm finna get in the world trouble. Can I tell you the truth? Can I tell you the real truth? It's what you're supposed to do. Look how y'all looking at me. You think God see you and I who say we his come home. He's supposed to say, question, in the morning, when you go to work, is anybody going to give you a round of applause? Here he is. Nope. Is it go clock in and get to work? Guess why? Because that's where I'm supposed to be. And if I want my check, you're a child of God. You're supposed to be in the worship center. You're supposed to be in worship. You're supposed to be in praise and getting the. That's what you're supposed to do. I'm going to go give God some time. Y'all put you checked in at New Zion MBC. Checked in. Telling everybody on Facebook you went to church. That's what you're supposed to do. Giving God some of my time. How you going to give time? In the beginning, God. In the end, God. And you giving him some time. Is you crazy? Giving God some of my time. So my question to you, where the rest of your time going? 168 hours in a week. You give God two. 166 hours. If it ain't going to God, y'all know I love you, right? We still cool? That's why we got to be careful with the things we say that's so erroneous. Giving God some. You can't give God something he done gave you. So we're in here. Some of us come, almost people come in. Y'all see me, don't you? I'm here. And then you get mad when folks don't get impressed that you're here. Yo, you're a Christian. You're a child of God. And I expect to see you in the house of God come Sunday morning. So you better stop this fashionably late stuff too. Because you might miss God, but want God to see you. Well, what happens in the text is, Paul's talking about. Then he goes late, leaves Festus. Festus started talking crazy to him, say, you mad, you're crazy. He says, most honorable Festus, I'm not crazy. Matter of fact, King Agrippa, you know I'm telling the truth. Hey, big money grip. That's what I'm going to call him for the sake of our time together. Not Agrippa, big money grip. Agrippa has been to Vacation Bible School. Agrippa has been in children's Bible study. Agrippa knows the books of the Bible. He says, Agrippa, you're very well aware of the Jewish ways. You're well aware of how the word of God goes. You know about the word of the prophets. You know about the law. You know about the history of the Jewish church. And the thing that the Lord has done, and it was not in a corner. In other words, you've been exposed to the gospel. Y'all done shut down. Cause what I get why most don't want to get in the word, because one thing I've learned, I'll just speak for me. The more word I get, the more word I read, the more word I'm accountable for. I'm gonna try it again. The more word I read, the more word I receive, the more word I'm exposed to, the more I'm accountable for to live with. Ignorance, ladies and gentlemen, is not bliss. And the less we get into some Bible teaching and study, the less I feel like I'm accountable to live victorious. Now, we just got through saying we got the victory, singing and jumping all over the place. Now, show me in Scripture where you got victory. Or you go say because Shanee played it. How I know I got the victory? Well, y'all singing at church Sunday. Because y'all looking at me. And you can't base it on the preacher because you never know what the preacher might say. Especially this one. That's why, I don't need you, I need no amens. That's why when you hear me, I'm going to always go base it on the word, not my opinion. See, Bible preachers, Bible teachers, you don't have to find a sermon. The sermon will find you. You don't have to find something special in the Bible. The Bible will tell you everything you need to know. But you got to read it. Now, y'all want to know what victory is. Now, all glory to God, 1 Corinthians 15, who calls us to triumph through Christ Jesus. Yep. So if anybody asks you, you got victory, it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 through 58. Read it. Now, don't take my word for it. Read it yourself. Now you'll know you got victory. Why you got victory? Because the Lord got up. And because he got up and I got relationship with him, I've already got the victory before I get into the battle. Now see, I need somebody who really done read that and done lived it. Has anybody lived through some stuff? I didn't know I got the victory before I went to the battle. And by the time I got to the battle, I didn't wasn't worried about the battle because I already had the victory. Because the word was my lamp and my light. Well, let me hurry. He says, now King Agrippa, you know this Bible. You pretending you don't. But you know I'm telling the truth. I'm confirming what you've been running from. You know why I like when these woke folks get to telling us we not real Christians. You know why I love it? And they start finding all kind of biblical evidence why we wrong. Y'all missed it. They telling me we wrong for what we believe in. It's a Eurocentric gospel and it's the white man's religion and all these people, they oppressed us, our oppressor made us believe in God and all that kind of, that's fine, but how you read that? You had to read the Bible to be able to tell me that. Well, you got to do some research to make your argument. And what's going to happen is, while you're researching, you're going to get restored. Yeah. Let them keep on trying to find ways why God ain't real. And then they're going to have a Bible and you and I to be examples and proof that God is real. Yeah. Let me hurry. He said, now Agrippa, you know, man. You know you've been reading this Bible. You just don't want nobody to know you're reading this Bible because it's going to mess you up politically. You will lose votes. Popularity, if you declare you believe in this Jesus, but you haven't read enough, you know it, you just don't believe it because you're afraid of being labeled. And I got some almost saints in here today who know it, you've read a little bit of it, but you don't want to get labeled. They're going to pick on you. They're going to try to put you on blast. Talk about it. They ain't going to invite you to the gin party no more. You ain't get no cookout invites. When you start declaring that you're a Christian, you ain't cool. Especially you young people. Oh, my heart go out to y'all because I've been there. To where y'all don't want to admit that you believe in Jesus. God has done some things in y'all's life already. Y'all have experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but you're afraid to say it because everybody go laugh at you. So what you'll do is cut up, act crazy, so everybody accepts you. Mm-hmm, I've been there. Living beneath your ability so you won't get labeled. If I had time, I'd tell you a story about when I was in college that I was brilliant. And I was in this history class, and the teacher made a mistake and told me that told the whole class, Mr. Hams got the perfect score. Now, I didn't realize until the test day, because this teacher, Dr. Dolores Carter, bless her soul, she's resting now. She's a blessed memory. But Dr. Dolores Carter, she called everybody grade out. You don't do that at an HBCU. You know what HBCU is, right? Everybody in there look just like you. And they can't respond the way. And so she put a lot of, you know, she put everybody out there. And she put those who did not do that well, who got a little further on down the alphabet. She called those grades out too, those who made L's and M's. She called those out too. And she says, well, Mr. Hams got a perfect score. Now, the only reason I got the perfect score, because, and I don't know if y'all are familiar with something called a curve. It wasn't a perfect score, it was just the best score, which gave me a 100% grade on the curve. And the curve had been set so low that all I really needed to know was my name. So what happened is, everybody now looks at me, he the one. So now, you're under pressure every time you show up to class. Hey, everybody looking at you. Hey, what's the answer? So I was young and immature at the time. I decided I'm gonna play stupid. Next test. So that people wouldn't be coming after me, labeling me, looking at me crazy, because I'm messing up the curve. They're getting L's and M's, right? And I'm getting A's. And so some were trying to be like me, and others were trying to hurt me. I succumbed to the pressure and didn't want to be labeled as an achiever. And so I tried to blend in and be just as crazy as everybody else. Can anybody ever thank God for the times he saved you from yourself? Do you know what happened on that next test? I didn't study, didn't prepare, and still set the curve. And I purposely didn't study. Here's the problem. None of them did either. You got to go and be who God made you. Whether people like it or not, whether they accept it or not, if God been good, you better tell somebody. If God is your God, you better show up and let your light shine. Don't ever diminish your light to be accepted by people who didn't die for your sins. It's time for young men and young women to declare, I love Jesus. Stop being ashamed. If they can't handle you, you know, loving God, they can't handle you. That's proof positive in the wrong people in your life if they can't handle your faith walk. Now, we'll get cool cups after Bible study. People still get cool cups? We'll get a cool cup after Bible study. We'll FaceTime after vacation Bible school. But for this set time, I got to get some word from God that I can be better. Yeah, so all most people resist the truth of the word. Secondly, this is really good. Secondly, all most people refuse the testimony of witnesses. Paul, my friends, is giving them his testimony. And instead of them accepting the testimony, they try to diminish Paul. Okay. That's deep. Since Paul won't shut up, they try to attack Paul. Because they can't do a thing with the testimony. Okay, here's what I'm saying. They can't do anything about who you're talking about, so they try to stop you from talking. I'm going to try it again. Festus tried to call him crazy so that Paul would accept, ooh, I don't want nobody thinking I'm crazy, so I just better stop talking about Jesus. Paul says, nope, I'm going to keep declaring that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He got up with all power, and I have a personal relationship with him. Is there anybody in Zion today who's kind of like Paul, and I just ain't going to shut up about it? The Lord has healed me of some sicknesses. The Lord has provided where I had some lack. The Lord has taken care of some stuff that I couldn't take care of. The Lord has shown up in my city. And anybody don't mind being some proof? Anybody don't mind being a witness? Because you got some Festuses in the church. You got some Agrippas in the church. church who want you to be like them and not testify. I need some men who will lift their hand. I need some women who will cry out today that God is still God, and I believe I am evidence. Come on, let him hear you. Any evidence in the house that God is God? Any evidence that he's a healer? Any evidence he's a provider? Anybody believe he's a way maker? Anybody know he's peace in the storm? Let somebody know who he is. I'm going to try one more time. I ain't talking about cute stuff. I'm talking about when that ugly devil. Anybody got an ugly praise to match your ugly situation? Anybody been through some hell and God brought you through? Anybody been through darkness and God showed up? You ought to make some noise. Don't get cute. Get crazy. Undignified. Praise. Yes, Lord. Who showed up on that surgery table? Who showed up in the bank? Who showed up at school? Who showed up in the midnight hour? Who showed up when let that car wreck? Who showed up? Who blocked it? And I'm so crazy as a testimony now, if he done it before, I already know he'll do it again. Even if he don't do it the way I want him, I know he's going to do something. And all things work together for my good, so I'll bless him anyhow. That's how crazy I am now in my belief, that even when it don't make sense, I'll still trust him, still pray, still worship. Y'all think I'm crazy now, Paul say. I ain't crazy. I'm a believer. Matter of fact, it's crazy for you not to believe. Brothers and sisters, I don't mean to insult anybody, but I think I know everybody in this room pretty well, majority of you. And I firsthand know some of the stuff God brought you through. That's one of the benefits of being a pastor. God lets you see people, pray with people who, if God didn't show up, you'd be lost your mind already. If the Lord ain't showed up, I'd already done a committal for you at the cemetery. But here you are right now in God's house breathing. And you mean to tell me I'm going to let people's looks and go let what somebody say stop my testimony? I will not shut up. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's Paul's problem. That the more he keep getting in trouble because of his testimony. And flesh can come in, y'all, and tell you if you shut up, they won't bother you. Okay, I'm about to get somewhere in a minute. If I just go and leave them alone, they'll leave me alone. Here's the problem. If they leave you alone, he won't leave you alone. Jeremiah tried that and said, I wasn't going to say nothing else because I'm sick of them treating me the way they treat me. I'm sick of them not listening to God. I'm sick of them acting stupid. But he said, something kept happening. It was like fire shut up in my bones, and I could not quit. If you don't believe Jeremiah, I'll talk about myself. There are some times I'm sick of talking to God's people. I'm sick of reading the Bible. I'm sick of preaching because I don't feel like it's going to do no good. But every time I get ready to mount this sacred death, God shows up again and give me power and give me strength to do what he called me to do, and I can't shut up. It would be convenient to shut up. Here's the problem. How many believers in here? Lift your hand. All right, here's the problem. Every hand that's lifted, there's a life attached to it. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus ain't speak to Festus and Agrippa. Paul did. Somebody Jesus touched is now empowered to talk. I'm going, so I'm trying to help somebody. Jesus himself ain't finna go and talk to them, but he's empowered you. And you, oh, you thought just preachers got to tell it. No, ma'am, no, sir. Everybody the Lord has touched has a responsibility to tell somebody that God, if he'll do it for me, he'll do it for you. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me. All of us at the grocery store, just a simple, when they run over you with that cart. What happened to my amens? Man, y'all been with me for all this time. Y'all shut it down. When they run over your toe, and you just got your feet done, and they run over your toe with that cart, and don't say, excuse me. We got some testimonies in the house now. My poor Mr. Music gone. And you got an opportunity. Now, you the one hurt. And you're the one irritated right now. But you got a chance now to show forth the love of Christ. Excuse me, ma'am, you got me there. Y'all don't like that one? All right, let's try another one. God bless you. Y'all don't like that one? In the name of Jesus, I have the victory. Y'all just got to do it one more time for us. Tell me who can stand be for us when we call on that great name. That might be the name to call before you call another name. And the church said, I'm trying to help us live victorious. It's not when everybody treats you right to treat them right. It's when they're doing you like a dog and you still got to do the best you can. It's these moments like that, them old hymns come to me. I know I am a child of God. Although I move so slow. That's why they moan, because they was mad. Hey! You got a testimony every day of your life. Now, here's what you got to do. If you're going to finish your assignment, God may send you somewhere else. I want you to think about this. Just consider it. I'm not saying this is exclusive to everybody. This is not exclusive to everybody's situation. What if God is using you to help them who are hurting you? God will send you as an almost to help somebody else who's an almost. Matter of fact, he'll help you as an almost help somebody who's a maybe. Now, don't get mad at me. You want to ask God to use you. See how quiet y'all got on? You want to tell the Lord to use me. Send me, I'll go. All right? In that copy room. They mess with, they dipped out your casserole that you had for lunch. They had your name on it, and they went there messing with it. And you can't be the one, who the hell messed with my casserole? And the first thing I'm gonna tell you, don't you go to church? Ain't you a preacher? You cuss better than people who don't even go to church. That's an opportunity to say the Lord has changed me. Now I could get you. Yes, I could. You see how I'm smiling now? There was a time I wouldn't be smiling the way I am. There's a time I wouldn't be looking at you. There's a time I'd be looking over you. You know why you're still breathing? Because God changed me. And if God will change me, he'll change you. Now, I'm about to run out of patience. So I'm going to leave your presence right now so that God will still get glory out of my life and I don't mess you up. Anybody don't mind testifying that it's when you become a real Christian, that's when folks try to test your gangster. And if God don't hold you, I wish I had a witness. If God don't hold you, because you know you can't hold yourself at that point. See, y'all will never get free if you don't tell the truth. Oh, you think I can pray and lay hands? So, Paul continued being a testimony in the face of pressure and opposition. That's not the time to shut up. That's not the time not to show up. You still got to show up and not shut up, no matter who's trying to stop you from showing up or shutting up. Because God propels you, not them. We heard it yesterday. God is our source. You're just a resource. Now, God got other people he can anoint to bless you with certain things. It don't begin and end with other individuals. Yeah. Well, I got to go. I'm 0 for 1. I'll try again at 3. Resist truth of the word. Then when you reject the testimony of a witness. And then, third and finally, all most people will refuse to transform their walk. Here it is, y'all. Paul tells the story of the gospel. And the gospel is supposed to transform lives. The word of God is supposed to transform. You got a word from God, and you got a witness from God. And still, people are not willing to change their walk. Now, what do you do? Let's just say for giggles that you've been preaching for a few minutes and preaching out your soul and your suit. And people look at you and say amen and smile and all that and go right back to live how they've lived. Y'all want to see the tragedy in the text? Agrippa didn't tell Paul, no, I don't know the word.